It's interesting that Nick was talking about preparation or looking back at the new year, because oddly enough, Christmas hasn't even come to us yet. Mm-hmm. And I've heard many people talking about their New Year's resolutions as though it's right there, you know, like it's happening very soon. So it's very funny. But on that very thought, I've heard, you know, because I've heard many people talking about how they're going to celebrate New Year. And some of these resolutions that they're talking about are for this coming year, reflecting on the past year, thinking about ways that they can improve their life, you know, things that maybe they should have done before, or, you know, all of these resolutions seem to be so varied, and some of them are probably very beneficial. Many people resolve to improve their health. That's one of the resolutions they often come up with. Or they want to lose weight or attain an elusive goal. They have something in their mind. They want to spend more time with their family and things like that. And excuse me, I'm going to move because the heat is on there. Well, maybe the heat is on. Sorry. In two ways. Let me see. So anyway, yeah. So yeah, resolutions. Yeah, people want to. They want to do something. They want to change. They want to make this coming year better than last year was, perhaps. Now, regarding what Paul had written in Colossians, we're going to look at this evening just the exhortation part of what was read. And that's chapter 4, verses 2 to 6, just four verses. But there's a lot packed in those four verses that I want to share with you. Now, we don't know exactly when Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians, but this passage is very certainly applicable for the new year. And the reason why I say that is because he urges the people in Colossae to be earnest in their prayer and to make good use of their time. And that's what our New Year's resolutions are often about, making good use of our time. We could all be more earnest in our praying, and I believe that most of us could be better stewards of our time. So consider these statistics regarding a man's life. It's a survey that was carried out in churches in America, but I think it's applicable here as well because it is. A study, and so this study, it was carried out on people of at the age of 70 years old. So I'm not there yet, but I'm approaching it. So I thought, maybe I'm one of these people. So anyway, this study revealed that an average 70-year-old man had spent 24 years sleeping, 14 years working, 8 years in amusements, 6 years at the dinner table, 5 years in different types of transportation, 4 years in conversations, 3 years in education, and 2 years in studying and reading. That leaves 4 years. His other 4 years were spent in miscellaneous activities. Of these 4 years, he spent 45 minutes in church on Sundays, and 5 minutes were devoted to prayer each day. His total time in church adds up to a not at all impressive total of 5 months that he gave to God over his period of 70 years. Now, even if this man had been a faithful churchgoer who attended Sunday school and 3 one-hour services per week, he would only have spent 1 year and 9 months in church out of 70 years. Not very impressive, is that? So I think when Paul, here in this letter to the Colossians, he says he's asking them to be earnest in their prayer and think about how they spend their life, how they spend their days. That's what this survey is about. How do we spend our days? How do we spend our life? What is important to us? Many of our pursuits are necessary, but it's clear that those of eternal significance receive the least attention. So I want to examine this evening this portion of Scripture and consider the priorities that Paul reveals regarding the believer being committed to the cause. And that cause in this exhortation is to preach Jesus Christ. So we see in chapter 4, verse 2, that there is an exhortation to pray. That's his first thing he comes out with. He says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. This simple phrase reveals a lot concerning prayer. It reveals, first of that we should pray continually. He says, devote yourself to prayer. Now, we're all familiar with this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Paul simply says, pray continually. We are to be able to be in a continual state of prayer. And I know that we can't pray 24 hours a day with our heads bowed down in prayer. It's just not practical. But this verse reminds us, and it gives us the idea of praying frequently throughout the day. It's living in a continual attitude of prayer. We ought to be so accustomed to praying that it's almost like a second nature. And that is not to say that we should pray in vain or that we should be careless when we're praying, but that we become people of prayer. Prayer ought to be so familiar to us that we find ourselves praying immediately whenever a need arises, rather than the last effort we put forth when a need arises. It should be the first effort we have. We should go right away, immediately into prayer. We also need to recognize and realize that praying continually involves praying passionately. If a burden or a need has moved us to pray, we must pray frequently and passionately about that need. In 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 11, the author writes, he says, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. And that leads us to the second thing that Paul talks about in verse 2. He says, pray consciously. Verse 2, he says, devote yourself to prayer. And then he says, being watchful. Being watchful. And thankful. Paul knew there were many needs in the lives of the Colossians. They faced great adversity and needed the strength of God to endure. They had specific needs and they needed a particular answer. And Paul urged them to be in an attitude of prayer, continually and constantly, aware of the needs around them. So watching, as he says here, has the idea of arising and arousing from sleep, a conscious mind and awareness of threatening danger. We need to be concerned for the urgent need of the day. We need to be a people who watch in prayer, arousing from our sleep and complacency, and develop an attitude of earnest labor in prayer. We all face specific needs, and we need to mention those specifically to the Lord. So when we pray, let us pray about the urgent needs we face. And Paul says, too, in these verses, he says, we should pray confidently. In verse 2, he says, being thankful. So isn't that amazing that when we think of it, we typically thank God after we receive something. But Paul is saying here that before we even receive it, we should be thanking God for it within our prayer. Thank you, God, for what you're about to give me, what you're about to do. What we're about to receive, that's exactly what Paul is speaking of here. We're urged to pray continually, consciously, and with confidence, giving thanks that God has heard us, knowing that he will answer our prayers. Doubt and fear are two of the greatest hindrances to our fears, to our prayers. We know that God is able. We have witnessed that many times. We've witnessed many times his hand doing miracles in our lives and in the lives of other people. But somehow we doubt that God will meet our need. We need to approach the throne of grace with boldness and confidence that God will work out, will work everything through in our situation and provide exactly what we need. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, Paul writes that, be thankful to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The second priority Paul reveals regarding the believer in this exhortation is that the believer who is about the believer who is committed to the cause, and he has an eagerness to preach. In verses 3 and 4, there is the issue of prayer is still being discussed, But in his exhortation to pray, Paul reveals his idea to preach. Now, everyone isn't called by God to preach, but all of us have an obligation to share the gospel. So we too should possess this eagerness that Paul had to reach out to those around us for the Lord. So notice also that Paul had an opportunity that he desired. In verse 3, he says, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message." Now, Paul was writing this letter from a Roman prison, but even though he was in prison, he never lost his desire to preach the gospel. Even while confined in a prison cell, chained to guards much of the time, Paul hungered for an opportunity to tell the good news of Christ. He earnestly desired that the church pray for the Lord to open a door of opportunity for him to share the gospel with those who were lost. He longed to tell the world of the Savior who loved him and died for his redemption. Shouldn't that be our desire as well as we look towards the new year? What is more important than sharing the glorious gospel with those who have not heard it or those who do not believe? May we pray that God will open a door for us as well. There is a lot that we will engage in during the course of the coming year, but nothing is more needful than sharing the gospel. In verse 3, we also see the objective that is defined in this verse. He says that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Paul wanted the door to open so that he had the opportunity to speak the mystery of Christ. He knew that that was the point of significance. He was aware that the latest philosophies and all of the ideas of men, that they were always changing. He knew the world around him was lost and undone without God. He knew he had received he knew he had received what all men needed, and that was salvation in Christ. Paul was committed to the cause. He was determined to preach Jesus. The church needs to be reminded of her objective. We have become program and activity minded. We are more consumed with getting people involved in and active than we are in seeking to lead people to Christ. Many of the things the church does is good, but I think we have replaced the clear objective with secondary activities and programs. Our main objective must be to present the gospel clearly so that the lost around us can see their need for Christ and come to him in salvation. If sharing the gospel is not the priority, we have missed our calling and are not fulfilling that which the Lord has given us to do. Paul is also revealed in verse 3. He says the obstacle that is disclosed. He says, pray for us that God will open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. But there is an obstacle here for which I am in chains. Paul reminded the church in Colossae that he was not free to just go about and come as he desired. He was bound in chains because of his faith in Christ. He was not looking for pity, and Paul was not feeling sorry for himself, but he was just acknowledging the limitation that he was in. He is committed to doing all he can for the cause of Christ in his present position, but he would have loved to have been set free in order to share the gospel with liberty. We too will face obstacles as we seek to serve the Lord in the coming year. In fact, there will probably be more numerous obstacles for us than in previous years. We might as well expect adversity in ministry, but we must also be committed to doing all we can within the boundaries that we face. Not everyone will receive the message, and not everyone will welcome our witness, but we must continue for the glory of God, even in the face of obstacles. When obstacles present themselves, look for a means to get around them. In verse 4, we see the obedience displayed by Paul. He says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Now, Paul was confined in prison, but that did not negate his calling. He had been called by God to share the gospel with the world. His ministry may have been limited compared to previous years, but he was still committed to the cause and remained obedient to his calling. He longed to share the truth of the gospel, and he was determined to do so at every opportunity. What a challenge that presents for us today. Many people worry about what others might think if they share the gospel in public. Some fear ridicule or mockery. Others fear being considered a bit strange or not being accepted by the majority. I know we all have fears and obstacles to overcome, but who among us has suffered for our faith as much as Paul did? Surely if he had the desire to remain committed while in prison for his faith, we can find the courage to fulfill our service to Christ. If God has called us to a particular task, he expects us to engage in that task. What we fail to realize is that God does not expect us to labor in our own ability. God will provide the strength. If we will obediently follow the Lord, he will provide the strength and wisdom we need to accomplish the work we are given. Paul has revealed that an exhortation to pray and an eagerness to preach are two of the priorities that reflect that the believers being committed to the cause of proclaiming the gospel. The third priority Paul reveals in this is his expectation to perform. In verses 5 and 6, Paul closes with these thoughts of revealing his expectation for the Colossians to perform as God would have them to. And so he addresses their walk. Verse 5, he says, "Be wise in the way you act towards the outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." We are to be aware of our daily walk, determined to walk in the wisdom of God. Now, many people are heading full steam ahead in a particular direction, but not necessarily walking in the way that God would have them walk. We must ensure that everything we do is consistent with the Word of God and His will for our lives. Let the Bible be your guide for the coming year. Seek the wisdom of God and apply that to your daily life. And notice, too, what Paul says about our witness. He says, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders." Paul knew the Colossians were being watched closely by those who denied the gospel. They were looking for any inconsistency in their faith, any reason to doubt their message. It was imperative that they walk in a way that honored the Lord, making an impact on the lost, to be a positive witness for the Lord among those who have never trusted Christ in salvation. Notice also that Paul says in verse 5 about our work. He says, "Make the most of every opportunity." Paul urged the Colossians to consider the time. They only had one life to live for Christ. They only had one chance to make a very good impression. No one is promised that they will be here tomorrow, so every situation is potentially urgent. There is no time to lose, and they need to seize every opportunity for the Lord. Do you remember the statistics in our introduction? The average person is not redeeming the time. Most of our time is focused on ourselves, with God getting a small portion of the leftovers. I pray that each of us will commit more of our time to the Lord in the coming year. We have the privilege and the responsibility to share Christ with those who don't know him. Let's make the most of every opportunity. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 says this. It says, "Be careful then how we live out our life, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Consider too what Paul says about our wisdom. In verse 6, Paul says, "Let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." The Colossians would face many obstacles in the days ahead. They would encounter many people who opposed their witness and rejected their Lord. They would find themselves mistreated and abused for their faith. In each of these circumstances, they were expected to respond in grace. That is not to say that they should abandon their faith or give in to the world's demands, but that they must seek to portray a godly example. Our Christian experience will continue to face obstacles and adversities as well. We must remember that the world is watching our lives. Often in times of despair, they will look to us for guidance and godly counsel. We have an opportunity to make the difference in people's lives, but we must maintain a close relationship with the Lord, filled with wisdom. So what is on your list of resolutions for the coming year? Have you given any thought to your service for the Lord? Have you considered your Christian responsibility with the desire to do more for Christ than you have done in past years? I know we could all improve in our service to Him. Why not ask the Lord to help you fulfill your responsibility for the coming year? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for bringing Paul into the world, Lord, and taking him and guiding him along, Lord, to raise the church and ministers within the church, disciples within the church, and leading the church in a way, Lord, that they would be a guiding light to others in a dark community, Lord. And in these words, these verses there, Lord, though Paul was limited in our sight, he was not limited, Lord, by any means, because he was still able to reach out and speak to many people, Lord, and even today, speak to us, Lord, with this word, with this counsel, Lord. So we do pray, Lord, for our future, Lord. Lord, we pray that for the prospect, Lord, for our faith, often, Lord, so tentative, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that through this scripture that it would be an illumination, Lord, for us, and that we will respond to it positively. Help us, Lord, to be energized in our strength, Lord, not only to save me, but also to send me, Lord, so that there would be no limits in what we do each and every day of our lives, Lord. Help us to walk in your ways, Lord. We ask this to your Son, Jesus. Amen.